Well, sorry for the delay. So, I'm Yi Zhang from Department of Physics from UC Berkeley. How does this work? And it's really pity that I can't visit in person because of a visa delay, but it's still a great pleasure to introduce you this topic of our most recent work in our group. So my talk will be on topological orders, quasi particle statistics, and braiding from ground state entanglement. And here are my collaborators. Jerome Grover is a postdoc in our group. Eric Tuner is now in University of Amsterdam. Masaki Oshikawa is a professor in University of Tokyo. And Ashwin Vishwanath is, of course, my thesis advisor. First, in order to make my talk self-consistent, let me first introduce the topological order and topological entanglement entropy. So topological order is an exotic quantum phase of matter beyond the Landau symmetry breaking theory. It is no longer described by other parameter from spontaneous symmetry breaking, but instead it is induced by this long-range quantum entanglement. So well-known examples of topological order are fraction quantum Hall state and gap quantum spin liquid. People know that typical hallmarks for topological order are ground state degeneracy on non-trivial space with genus larger or equal to 1, and a non-zero topological entanglement entropy. So for simplicity, in our study, we mainly focus on the geometry of a torus, which have genus 1, and a geometry of a donut. So one simple and beautiful example of the topological order is the Kitab-Tauri code model given by the following Hamiltonian. So here, AS is a product of sigma X operators acting on the four spins on a star. And BP is a product of sigma Z operators acting on four spins on a placate. Because all the AS and BP operators actually commute with each other, the ground state will be a simultaneous entropy of all the AS BP operators. To construct such a ground state, well, we can first define the following closed loop operator that acts on a product of SC on the spins along this closed string C on the original lattice. And then the ground state will be an equal superposition of all configuration of group operators acting as on a state where sigma x equals 1 everywhere on the lattice. And one can show that AS and BP are always plus 1 acting on such a ground state. Hey, Lucas. So now the more fundamental question to ask is, how to make sure that such an order established is topological or not? People know that the most common way is to look for ground state degeneracy or to calculate the quantum dimension by measuring the topological entanglement entropy, a topic that we'll be talking about later within this talk. For the Tauri code model, it is known that a ground state is fourfold degenerate and corresponding to four different sectors of loop configurations with different parities of wrapping around the x and y direction. So here is an example with even number of wrapping along the x direction, an odd number of wrapping around the y direction. And here is another example with odd and even number of wrapping parity along the x2 direction respectively. And these different sector of loops are not connected by any local operation. So they are pretty stable to local perturbation. The ground state degeneracy is a good identification of topological order, but it is not a unique identification because it is possible for two different topological phases to have exactly the same number of ground state degeneracy. So in order to make the distinction clear, well, we can turn to the underlying quasi-particle excitation of the topological order. For the Tauri code model, we may first define such an open string operator that acts the product sigma v operators on the open string O. By acting such an operator on the ground state, it turns out that all the ASBP operators still has plus one entry values except for the two ends of the string where AS equals minus one. So we can say that the resulting state is an excited state with a pair of quasi-particles created at the two ends of the string. And we may name these quasi-particles as electric charges, and the string connecting them as an electric field on the original lattice. And without going into too much detail, I just want to point out that we can also define the bisons, or namely the magnetic charges and the magnetic field on the dual lattice. So now, more definitive information about the topological order can be derived from the braiding and statistics of these quasi particles, which is encoded in the modular F and U matrices. And the modular U matrix is also commonly known as the twist for the quasi particles. So here is the example F and U matrices for the Z2 gauge theory, which describes the Tauri code model. Each column and row represents a different flavor of quasi particle excitation. For the F matrix, the ijth entry corresponds to the phase when the ith quasi particle encircles the jth quasi particle. And for the U, the modular U matrices, the ith component corresponds to the phase when the ith quasi particle exchanges with an identical particle. So from these two examples of the S and U matrices of the Tauri code model, it becomes clear that there is an electric charge and magnetic charge. They're self-boson, but most importantly, they can pick up an additional minus sign, an additional phase of pi when one encircles the other one. So this kind of braiding and statistics is vital to the underlying defining of the topological order. And we can see that such modular matrices and braiding and statistics do offer a much richer information about the topological order. So our motivation about the work I'm going to discuss within this talk is to also answer the following questions. So first, how do we extract all of these braiding and statistic information if we are given a set of generic ground state wave function with non-zero correlation length? And secondly, we know that the Gutzwiller projected wave function has long been used as a trial wave function for SU2 symmetric SU2 spin symmetric gap spin liquid, gap quantum spin liquid. But do these wave functions really support topological order? So our answer to these questions are through study of entanglement entropy. Given a bipartition of the system into subsystem A and B, we can trace out the subsystem B for a reduced density matrix on the subsystem A. And then the random entanglement entropy is given by the following expression, with n the index for the Rennie entanglement entropy. Within our study, we mainly focus on the case where n equals 2. So we study the n equals 2 Rennie entanglement entropy other than the more commonly known von Neumann entropy, simply because our algorithm and our calculation is best suited for calculation of S2. And I want to point out that there's no loss of generality in the choice of n in our conclusion and the result. And it is also known that for two-dimensional gap quantum topological order with contractible region A and smooth boundary. The topological, the integrating independent entropy follows the following area law. And the leading contribution of the Rennie entropy consists of a leading term that is non-universal and proportional to the boundary of length of the boundary, and the universal constant term, usually dubbed as the topologically independent entropy. So for a topologically trivial bipartition, the topologically independent entropy is given by the log of quantum dimension, and independent of the Rennie entropy index n. And also, d squared is equivalent to the number of the degenerate ground states aleatories for the topological order. So these properties makes the topological independent entropy a very, very helpful tool in establishing topological order. Well, to get the brief picture where this topological independent entropy is actually coming from, let's again use the toric model as an example. So here's a Smith decomposition of the wave function into subsystem BA and B after the bipartition. It is now indexed by the absence or presence of electric field at the boundary of the bipartition cut. However, there are only two to the L minus one configurations, not two to the L configurations, because the electric field loops are always closed. This additional restriction that the total number of electric flux to the boundary has to be an even integer finally leads to this correction of minus log two to the Rennie independent entropy. So this is the topological independent entropy, and it is consistent with the Z2 gate theory, quantum dimension D equals two. So in the next section, I'm going to show you that we establish topological orders for more generic wave functions with non-zero correlation length. And especially, we used spin SU2 symmetric chiral spin liquid and Z2 spin liquid wave function, and also some lattice versions of the Laughlin state. So our wave functions are constructed through a slate particle formalism. And in practice, we get our wave function by Gutzwiller projecting a BCS superconducting wave function to one fermion per site. And then we can calculate the Rennie entangled entropy through variational Monte Carlo method on system size large enough to suppress the finite size effect, and also without any sign problem. To derive the topological entangled entropy, we use the technique developed by Kitaev and Prescu, as well as Levin Wen, by the following construction. So in this kind of geometry, and we can measure the following combination of Rennie entangled entropy, and then the boundary contribution of the Rennie entangled entropy gets effectively canceled out, and the topological contribution gets isolated in the case of very small correlation length. This can be even simplified by symmetry and finally reduced to the calculation of three Rennie entangled entropy for plaquettes A, AC, and ABC. So in practice, we started with a chain insulator with unit chain number by constructing a square lattice type binding model at half filling. And then, in the same spirit of the construction of the Laughlin state, we can get the chiral spin liquid and lattice Laughlin state simply by taking multiple copies of it, or like squaring, or just going to the cubic power of the wave function. We also studied a Z2 spin liquid by Gutzwiller projecting a BCS wave function from the following BGG Hamiltonian developed by Xiaogang Wen. And the theoretical value based of topological entangled entropy based on their respective quantum dimension is also shown here. And here is our result. We first benchmarked our method using the chain insulator, and the result topological intended entropy has a vanishing value in consistency with the absence of topological order in this phase. For the topological orders, on the other hand, the calculated topological intended entropy are all very close to the theoretical values. And it worked extremely well for the case of chiral spin liquid, where the correlation length is the shortest. We also studied the finite size effect of the chiral spin liquid by tuning the mean field gap that controls the correlation length. And at large enough gap, the topological intended entropy measure actually tends to the theoretical value of log square root of 2. So this is a very good evidence that at large enough gap, the correlation length has been short enough and the finite size effect has been suppressed. So these results are indeed realistic and reliable. So these non-vanishing value of topological intended entropy help us to confirm that these dots were the projected construction of wave functions do support topological order. So besides helping to establish topological order, I'm going to show you in the next section that topological intended entropy can actually bring more information when an entanglement bipartition is topologically non-trivial. So in the next section, I'm going to show you that the topological intended entropy can actually depend on the ground state chosen for the study. And also I'm going to show you what's the meaning of the ground state with minimum entropy. And based on such dependence, we actually proposed an algorithm to extract the quasi-particle statistical grading if we are given a set of ground states for the topological order. And that helps to determine the underlying topological order with much more precision. So first, to clarify possible confusion, I want to emphasize the major difference from the previous section where the topological intended entropy is fixed. So the major difference is that now the region A takes a non-trivial topology. So we mainly focus on the case of dividing this torus into two cylinders that both wraps around the y direction. So Dong and Fred King and other collaborators have already shown that the Renyi entangled entropy for transignment theory defined on such a geometry will obey the following modified area law. And the topological entangled entropy is no longer fixed as a logarithm of the quantum dimension. Well, without going into too much detail about this modified topological intended entropy, let's first look at our intuition. Intuitively, for this kind of bipartition, the topological intended entropy should be twice as much as before, so it should be 2 gamma, because of the two disconnected boundaries. But this actually didn't turn out to be a case, and let me give you a simple kind of argument why this kind of intuition cannot be correct. So the strength of the additivity actually gives the following equation for three non-overlapping regions A, B, and C. If we take the following geometry on a torus, well, this is a periodic boundary condition along both x, x, and y, and then all the boundary terms again get canceled out, and only topological contribution remains. And further, because the region B and the complement of region A, B, C both have the geometry of a disk, their topological intended entropy should be gamma as before in the previous section. We can put these back into the equation, and clearly, the topological intended entropy for A, B, and B, C cannot be both to gamma. So the A, B, and B, C actually wraps around x and y direction of the torus. Actually, this is an uncertainty principle of topological intended entropy. So when the topological intended entropy is maximized along one direction, the total intended entropy is minimized, and we have the most possible information about this direction. On the horizontal direction, the topological intended entropy has to be minimized. So we have the least possible information about the state along this direction. So now we go into a little bit more detail, and we think about the physics of such ground state dependence. And let's again use the torical model as an example. In the previous section, I have already told you that I have already talked about the four different ground states of the torical model corresponding to the different electric flux along a parity along the x and y direction. And now we can construct a much more generic wave function by doing a linear combination of these four wave functions. So here CAB is a coefficient. And by straightforward algebra and trace out the degrees of freedom of such subsystem B, we get the following Grandi intended entropy for a subsystem A that takes a cylindrical geometry. It's still a basic area law, but now the topological intended entropy gamma prime is given by this expression. So here M is the index of topological Grandi intended entropy, and the Pj are functions of C. So it turns out that the maximum possible topological intended entropy of 2 log 2 is available, not only available, when one of the Pj's takes the value of 1 and the rest are all 0. And we named the corresponding ground state that has the maximum topological intended entropy the minimum entropy state, because the maximum possible topological intended entropy actually minimizes the total entropy. But this is nothing but just the base transformation. So why are these ground state wave functions so special? Well, to get some kind of intuition, we need to look at the quasi-particle excitation. I have shown you that about the possible quasi-particles within the torical model. After creating these quasi-particles,
Ivan? Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. My name is Gifre Vidal. I have a question for you.
Sure.
So I did not understand. Are you still in the torical without the magnetic field?
You mean the gauge field?
Okay, can you go back one slide? Yeah. Who are these four states?
Oh, these four states are the ground state of the torical model. So these states are the states we discussed before using the electric field. So they are the electric flux engine states.
Just a second, I couldn't hear you. Can you repeat that?
So these ground states are
yes.
The electric flux engine states. So they again? Have definite.
Can you say that again? We are having problems with the sound.
Okay. So these ground states are the electric flux engine states. Engine states.
So no excitations?
So this is only with the electric field.
Okay.
So for example, this wave function are made from acting all loop operators with even parities along wrapping around x
okay.
and y yeah. directions on a sigma x equals one state.
Okay. So if we just look, just a second. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, if you just look at the entropy for a contractible region,
okay,
it will be exactly the same for all these states. Is that correct?
That's correct. So if it's a contractible region, then topological entanglement entropy will always be gamma and fixed
okay.
by the logarithm of Quorn dimension.
And
but this is no longer true here. In this
so
case.
This different term, the second part.
Mm-hmm.
The second term is due to the fact. I cannot hear. Okay, thanks. Sorry, this second term is due to the fact that you have a non-contractible region.
Yes, yes. Only it's true if the region is non-contractible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it the specific type of non-contractible region?
The exact form of the second term will depend on the geometry, and this is true only for dividing a torus into two cylinders.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Case.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to continue discussing the starting from the quasi particle excitations on the particle model. So after creation of quasi particles, we need to return the state back to the ground state. So the quasi particle must be annihilating pairs in order to return to a ground state. But there are actually multiple ways of doing it. For example, we can create a pair of electric charges here and move one of the electric charge along the y direction before annihilation. So it's back to a ground state, but what is left behind is an additional electric field along the, that wraps around the y direction. We define such an operator as ty operator, and this will be a Wilson loop operator of an electric charge. And it actually changes the electric field of electric flux parity along the y direction. And similarly, we can define a Tx operator that changes electric field flux parity along the x direction. And in a similar way, we can still work on the vices or the magnetic charges and define the following vice and Wilson loop operators that changes the magnetic field flux along the x and y directions respectively. And after some algebra, we can work out that the Fy and Fx operators acting on the ground state follows the following expression. So at this point, I just want to, without going into too much detail, I just want to point out that the Ty and the Fy operators are the operators that's well defined within the region A that takes the cylindrical direction that wraps around the y direction. And they are also the magnetic and electric flux measuring operators along the x direction through the cylinder. So now it becomes clear that these minimum entropy states are nothing but the simultaneous engine state of both Ty and Fy operators. So this is an example that the minimum entropy states are the engine states of Wilson loop operators defined by the entanglement terms. And it actually also carries lead to magnetic and electric flux through the cylinder, defined by region A. So this also answers the physics why, for these states, the entropy is minimal. It is because that for the region A, it can only measure this bipartition is on the y direction. The region A can only measure the electric and the magnetic flux through the cylinder flow along the x direction. By measuring these global Quanon numbers, these states, we know the maximal possible information about these states. And up on linear combining these states, the information we can get by measuring Tx and Fy, Ty and Fy get scrambled. So the total entropy will rise, and the topological independent entropy will decay. In the extreme case, where it's a linear, it's an equal superposition of these four states, all the information obtainable by measuring the global quantum numbers Ty and Fy has been lost. And in this case, this is the maximal possible, we have the maximal possible entropy, and the topological independent entropy will be zero in this case. Well, interestingly, in this case, if we make an entanglement cut along the x direction, the topological independent entropy again gets maximized. So one has the maximal possible information along the horizontal direction. This is an example about the uncertainty principle of topological independent entropy I talked before. To see how this works with real more generic wave functions with a non-zero correlation length, we studied a chiral spin liquid from the previous section, but using a different kind of geometry and separation. So here, region A and region B both have a disk geometry, while region ABC both are wrapped around the y direction of the torus. And again, by measuring the following combination of the we can expose the topological contribution, which is now given by gamma prime minus 2 gamma. So for clarity, gamma prime denotes the topological independent entropy for a spin triple geometry region. And the gamma is for a disk geometry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
You are too close to microphone.
Sorry, I didn't hear the... Oh, I'm too far away from the microphone. Hello?
Too close.
Too close. Okay. How about now?
Okay, now it's fine.
Okay, yeah, I'll continue with this.
Okay, you can continue.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for pointing out. Then we come to the peak of the ground state wave function. And turns out there are four different ground state wave functions because we can choose periodic or anti-periodic boundary conditions for the F fermion. So this boundary condition choice will be invisible to the spin degrees of freedom, which is bilinear in the fermion and due to our slave particle formalism. We can denote these four ground states by their mean field fluxes as phi 1 and phi 2. So phi 1 and phi 2 takes value of 0 pi depending on the periodic or anti-periodic boundary condition along the x and y directions respectively. So on the other hand, the chiral spin liquid is a spin-on counterpart of a mu equals one half fraction quantum Hall state. And that tells us that there are two kinds of excitations, a bosonic one and a semionic one. And also, the ground state for the chiral spin liquid should be twofold degenerate. This suggests that of the four ground states we constructed, only two are linearly independent. We have numerically tested that the zero pi state and the pi zero state are almost orthogonal up to the system size we study. So we can use them for the linear combination, and this linear combination will be able to cover, ideally it will be able to cover the whole ground state degenerate manifold. And here's our data. It shows the measured value of 2 gamma minus gamma prime as a function of different linear combinations. And our numerical data are shown here as dot and error bars. different linear combinations are parameterized by the different choices of phi. Clearly, the topological independent entropy strongly depends on the choice of linear combination. The solid curve here is theoretical value, which I'm going to explain the next. By the Trans-Simon theory for the chiral spin liquid, we work out that the pi over 2 rotation matrix for the chiral spin liquid in the base of minimal entropy state, which we have identified as the Wilson loop operators along the y direction, given by the following matrix. Indeed, this matrix is consistent with the modular S matrix for the chiral spin liquid. And this is an example of that. The pi over 2 rotation matrix is consistent with the pi over 2 matrix in the particle basis, our torus is consistent with the modular S matrix. With this in hand, and by matching the rotation engine state of this operator, we can write down the following configurations for the four mean field flux wave functions as this. And then the trial wave function we use as a linear combination has the following configuration. By applying the formula given by Don Fracking and collaborators, this directly leads to the following 2 gamma minus gamma prime of the topological contribution to the entanglement entropy. And this is shown on the curve as a solid curve, This is indeed very consistent with the numerical data we have already obtained. We'll also look at the Z2 spin liquid that I showed you in the previous case, and the result is also matching. So one important application of such dependence of topologically independent entropy on the ground state is embedded in the fact that the maximum possible topologically independent entropy corresponds to the particle state. And then in this case, one can determine the important modular matrices by measuring some symmetry operations and transform into the particle state. For simplicity, let's take the modular S matrix as an example. So the modular S matrix is equivalent to a pi over 2 rotation in the particle band, or the minimum entropy state space. So here is a toric-code model. The transformation law for a toric-code model is easy if we use the electric flux engine state. They only switch the x and y direction under pi over 2 rotation. And then by a unitary transformation, we can go to the particle basis, which is the minimum entropy state basis. The transformation law shown here is exactly consistent with the modular matrix shown of the underlying Z2 gauge theory describing the toric-code model. So with this in mind, we propose the following algorithm for deriving the statistical matrices, the modular matrices of a topological order. Once we are given the set of ground state wave functions, The algorithm actually consists of two major tasks. The first one is to determine the transformation law of these ground states under some symmetry operation, under some symmetry transformation, denoted by the matrix R. And the second task is to find the unitary transformation that relates the original ground state to the minimum entropy. And combining these two, the modular S matrix can be obtained by doing a unitary transformation of the original notation matrix. Well, for easier understanding, let me actually take a real example using the chiral spin liquid. Let's say that we're given the two orthogonal ground state wave functions, 0 pi and pi 0, as before. And besides this, we have no idea, no further information about the underlying topological order. Now we want to figure out what this topological order X is. So first, we realize that these two ground states actually transform into each other after a pi over 2 rotation. So in their basis, the transformation matrix is given by the Pauli sigma x matrix. And then we can construct a sorry, is there a problem?
Hi, you are too close to the microphone again.
Okay, sorry.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. So this R matrix actually is our first task. And then we can construct a generic wave function by a linear superposition of the two wave functions, 0 pi and pi 0. And then we can measure the topological intended entropy as a function of different linear combinations. Especially, we realize that that the maximum possible topological intended entropy, gamma prime, is at the position where phi is approximately 0.14 pi. This leads to the two minimum entropy states. And this defines the unitary transformation matrix only with an undefined phase of phi between the two minimum entropy states. So we can derive the S matrix only with an unknown factor phi. Further, because there's always an identity particle, there has to be a line and column where all the faces are real and positive, because the identity particle, basically the face of the trivial face of an identity particle encircling any other particle. This tells us that this undecided phase of phi has to be zero. And this helps us to completely determine the S matrix. Although this S matrix is only approximate, the most important statistical properties can already be extracted pretty precisely. The first column, the quasi-particle corresponding to the first line and first column in the Bosch row should be an identity particle as expected. However, the quasi-particle corresponding to the second row and column will pick up an additional phase of pi or a minus sign upon encircling itself. This tells us that the second quasi-particle has semionic statistics, and the topological order X should be either a chiral spin liquid or a fraction quantum Hall insulator with at nu equals 1/2. Okay, so here are some future directions for the current for the work. Where for the work within this talk. So we're trying to extend this, the use of the, the topological intended entropy and determine the statistics and the braiding of the quasi-particles to a cases of non-abelian topological orders and phases. Especially, this will help to identify exotic quasi-particles such as the Majorana fermions. This is pretty hard to realize given only the total quantum dimension, but it is possible with the help of braiding statistics and individual quantum numbers for each individual quantum quasi-particle. Especially, we have established a chain insulator with n equals 2, with chain number n equals 2 for single band. And we're studying partially fill such band with exact diagonalization or variation of Monte Carlo method. So here's my conclusion and take home message. So we study the topological order from a topological intended entropy point of view. And within this talk, I've shown you the following aspects. I've shown you the existence of topological order for some certain Gitzweiler project wave function. I also showed you the ground state dependency of topological intended entropy on the bipartition of the torus for bipartitioning the torus into two cylinders. And the physics of the ground state with minimum entangled entropy are actually the particle basis of the, and that correspond to the quasi-particle excitation of the underlying topological order. And based on the ground state dependence of topological intended entropy, I've shown you a method to extract the statistics and braiding of the excitation that helps to nearly completely determine the topological order once we're given the ground state wave functions on a torus. So, and here are some of the other projects that I attended on topological insulators. So we studied the topological defect, effect of topological defect, effect of interaction, entangled spectrum, and the surface state AB oscillation on a topological insulator. And we also studied the topological intended entropy in a current spin liquid, which helped to establish the emergence of fermionic excitation. I will be more than happy and interested to study and collaborators in these aspects in the future. And thank you for listening. Yeah, that's the end of the talk.
Okay, do we have questions? All right.
Yeah, any questions?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Bhaskaran. It was a very nice talk.
Thank you.
I have two questions. The first question is, you studied RVB wave functions after Gutzwiller projection and calculated entanglement entropy. Suppose you softened the Gutzwiller projection, and not complete Gutzwiller projection. Do you think this entanglement entropy will survive until some critical value, or what is your, have you tried to look at that?
Okay, that's a very good question. So we did a numerical study the case of partial projection, but what we believe is that once the projection is not complete, this is no longer an insulator in some sense. So the phase transition actually happens at exact complete projection. So without projection, this is a Fermi gap. Without projection, this is an insulator. It's a free fermion problem. And if you project it, partially projecting it, it's like adding some interaction to a problem. but there's no phase transition from the case where there's no projection at all. So that kind of tells us that doing partial projection, the phase we're getting will be a topologically trivial order.
Probably, you know, I will disagree with you because
yes.
If you take large U Hubbard model,
mm-hmm.
which describes Mott insulators very well,
mm-hmm.
there is always a small double occupancy. So partial good solar projection is very meaningful for real Mott insulators. Now, what you are studying is projecting out double occupancy completely and making the Mott gap infinity. So
right.
I suspect that there should be a critical partial good solar projection which should separate topologically trivial and non-trivial. This is just my loud conjecture.
I see. So you're thinking the critical value of projection is at some finite value of
right, rather than one.
Okay, that's a very good point. Yeah, we didn't look at the phase transition point, but that's a very good point. I think there could be some finite size issue because there is exactly speaking our system size is still pretty finite, and when you're getting close to a phase transition, what happens is that your correlation lengths get longer. So this kind of smoothens out the change of our topological entangled entropy. But even that, there will be a very interesting question to study. Yes, thank you for the question. I haven't thought about it.
Okay, we have time for it. So second question is, you took, for example, chiral spin liquid, and there are mm-hmm. two topologically degenerate states, 0 pi and pi 0. You
right.
said that a particular linear combination maximizes certain things, the entanglement entropy.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what is the physical meaning of this state when you have open geometry? Because when you have torus geometry,
mm-hmm.
the two states are super selected. So a linear
right.
combination is just a formal statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it have an implication if you look at like a Laughlin droplet or chiral spin liquid droplet mm-hmm. in an open geometry? What is phi? Yeah. That,
okay. So these two states,
mm-hmm.
these two states with minimum entropy states are actually the two quasi-particle Wilson loop operator engine states.
Please repeat it.
So if we can define the Wilson loop operator for two kinds of quasi-particles of the chiral spin liquid. We can, for example, we can create a pair of semions. We want semion around the torus, and another is these two semions. So this is an operator. And this state, this ground state, will be an engine state of this operator.
Engine state. Oh, okay.
Engine state, sorry. It's an engine state of the operator.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, this is Song Shik from Investor. So you to determine the rating property of quasi-particle, in your algorithm, you use some global symmetry?
Yes. So, well, in order to show you an example, I use the pi over 2 rotation.
So I guess my question is, so topological order is robust against any small perturbation, right? So including
yeah.
perturbation that breaks any global symmetry.
Right.
So in that case, suppose someone gave you some ground state with without those global symmetry, is your method still applicable to those cases or?
I see. That's a very good question. So, the algorithm actually didn't apply to this wave function, this topological order wave function that has very low symmetry. The first part of our conclusion is applicable, which is identifying the minimum entropy state as particle state. But it's actually very hard to apply the second part, because in order to measure these statistics, we really want to relate some symmetry operations.
I see.
We really need to have some operations that can give us some transformation loss to start with.
I see. So yeah. For Codon algorithm, you need to have some global symmetry.
Yes, we need to have some kind of global symmetry. So,
okay. I think you already explained it, but I didn't understand it very well. What's the role of the global symmetry transformation to determine the statistics?
I see. The idea is the following. If we start from a field theoretical point of view about the S, modular S matrix or the twist matrix, they're nothing but just some modular transformation of the particle basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now we are just relating a particle basis to the minimum entropy state.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, by looking for some symmetry operation on the torus,
mm-hmm.
for this minimum entropy state,
mm-hmm.
This is equivalent to the modular, some kind of modular transformation under the particle basis, which as a result will give you some statistical modular matrices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it's just like a unitary transformation. Some base transformation under the particle basis.
I see.
But
you are talking about ground state where there is no quasi particle at all, right?
Yeah.
Then you're saying properties of those ground state under global symmetry encodes the information about quasi particle mode.
Exactly.
I see.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So all of these are only for the ground state, because because our theory is based on topological field theory, mm-hmm. and so we don't really consider the effect of excitation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you look at the real example, there's always some kind of deviation, and this kind of deviation is induced by the excitation effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's induced by the correlation caused by a finite size gap. So these deviations are from finite size effect, which can be attributed to a finite gap.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, very nice stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Oliver. It's been a very nice talk. I've got a question which I think is connected to the two previous ones.
Thank you.
So it's about the bases that you're given the states initially, and maybe you can go back to to that slide. So I was wondering, in that case, you have the two quantum numbers given with respect to the two fundamental loops of your torus.
Yes.
And then you do this the linear combinations where, well, the first one is always fixed because that's the one that's well defined on your cylinder.
Right. So first one is the electric field along the x direction.
Okay.
The electric field along the y direction. So let's take the first wave function as an example. By superimpose these two wave functions, we still have even number parity of electric flux along the x direction, but along the y direction, it's no longer an electric flux engine state. It turns out that this is an electric magnetic flux engine state along the x direction.
Yes. So maybe my question is, if you're given the initial states that you then rotate, if you're given them with respect to the fundamental loop that is going through the cylinder, so kind of in x direction, would then your algorithm still
work? I see. It will still work.
That it's not like this given, but it's like given like this, and you want to rotate it like that, because I think in this space you should have no information about what, or is that not true?
If you if you're dividing the torus into two cylinders along the x direction, all the algorithm will still work. Instead, the minimum the minimum entry space will be the entry state of electric flux and the magnetic flux through the new cylinder.
So sorry, can you repeat the last sentence?
Okay.
We have acoustic problems.
Sorry. So if you do a cut along the horizontal direction, so everything will be the same except for the minimum entropy state. The minimum entropy states for the new bipartition will be the Wilson loop entry state along the new direction. In other words, it will be the flux entry states of the cylinder, of the new cylinder. So these linear combinations will be different, but this formula will stay the same.
So if you go to non-abelian models, would you suspect the same thing to hold, where you specifically cannot separate the two quantum numbers in this fashion, but where you have to keep them in this way, as far as the loops are concerned?
We tried the icing anneals, and it works the same. There will be three ground states, and then the minimum entropy states will correspond to the three Wilson loop operator engine states of the three kinds of quasi particles, the trivial one, the sigma, and the psi. So it all works equally well for a non-abelian case.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, I can't hear you.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. Now, I just wanted to ask you if you have time to chat on Skype later on today.
I will need to meet with Ashwin sometime at noon, but after that I'm free, yes.
So what's the time now?
Now it's 11:53. Here.
10:53.
I can give you my Skype name.
Okay, I'll send you an email.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I think we're done then.
Thank you. Yeah. It's nice
talking
to you guys. Very inspiring questions.